where the time is 9 o'clock and our drama on three is King Lear by William Shakespeare.
King Lear by William Shakespeare.
I thought the king had more affected the Duke of Albany than Cornwall.
It did always seem so to us. But now in the division of the kingdom, it appears not which of the dukes he values most. Mm.
Huh. Is not this your son, my lord?
His breeding, sir, hath been at my charge. I have so often blushed to acknowledge him that now I am braced to it.
I cannot conceive you.
Sir, this young fellow's mother could. Whereupon she grew round-wombed and had indeed, sir, a son for her cradle, ere she had a husband for her bed. Do you smell a fault?
Well, I cannot wish the fault undone, the issue of it being so proper.
But I have a son, sir, by order of law, some year elder than this, who yet is no dearer in my account. Though this knave came something saucily to the world before he was sent for, yet was his mother fair. There was good sport at his making, and the whoreson must be acknowledged. Do you know this noble gentleman, Edmund?
No, my lord.
My lord of Kent. Remember him hereafter as my honourable friend.
My services to your lordship.
I must love you, and sue to know you better.
Sir, I shall study deserving.
He hath been out 9 years, and away he shall again. The king is come.
Send the lords of France and Burgundy, Gloucester.
I shall, my lord.
Meantime, we shall express our darker purpose. Give me the map. There. No, we have divided in three our kingdom, and 'tis our first intent to shake all cares and business from our state, conferring them on younger strengths, while we, unburdened, crawl toward death. Our son of Cornwall, and you, our no less loving son of Albany, we have this hour a constant will to publish our daughter's several dowers, that future strife may be prevented now. The princes France and Burgundy, great rivals in our youngest daughter's love, long in our court have made their amorous sojourn, and here are to be answered. Tell me, my daughters, which of you, shall we say, doth love us most, that we our largest bounty may extend where nature doth with merit challenge Goneril, our eldest born? Speak first.
Sir, I love you more than word can wield the matter. Dearer than eyesight, space and liberty, beyond what can be valued rich or rare, no less than life, with grace, health, beauty, honor. As much as child e'er loved or father found, a love that makes breath poor and speech unable. Beyond all manner of so much, I love you.
Of all these bounds, even from this line to this, with shadowy forests and with champagnes, riched with plenteous rivers and wide-skirted meads, we make thee, lady. To thine and Albany's issues be this perpetual. What says our second daughter? Our dearest Regan, wife of Cornwall.
I am made of that self metal is my sister, and prize me at her worth. In my true heart, I find she names my very deed of love. Only she comes too short. That I profess myself an enemy to all other joys, which the most precious square of sense professes, and find I am alone felicited in your dear Highness' love.
Do thee and thine hereditary ever remain this ample third of our fair kingdom, no less in space, validity, and pleasure than that conferred on Goneril? Now, our joy, although our last, not least, to whose young love the vines of France and milk of Burgundy's strive to be in terrace. What can you say to draw a third more opulent than your sisters? Speak.
Nothing, my lord.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing will come of nothing. Speak again.
Unhappy, that I am. I cannot heave my heart into my mouth. I love your majesty according to my bond, no more nor less.
Aha, Cordelia. Mend your speech a little, lest you may mar your fortunes.
Good my lord, you have begot me, bred me, loved me. I return those duties back as are right fit. Obey you, love you, and most honour you. Why have my sister's husbands, if they say they love you all? Happily, when I shall wed, that lord whose hand must take my plight shall carry half my love with him, half my care and duty. Sure, I shall never marry like my sisters, to love my father all.
But goes thy heart with this?
Aye, my good lord.
So young and so untender.
So young, my lord, and true.
Let it be so. Thy truth, then, be thy dower. For by the sacred radiance of the sun, the mysteries of Hecate and the night, by all the operation of the orbs from whom we do exist and cease to be, here I disclaim all my paternal care, propinquity, and property of blood, and as a stranger to my heart and me, hold thee from this forever.
Good, my lady.
Peace, Kent, come now between the dragon and his wrath. I loved her most, and thought to set my rest on her kind nursery. Call France. Who stirs? Call Burgundy. Cornwall and Albany. With my two daughters' dowers, digest the third. Let pride, which she calls plainness, marry her. I do invest you jointly with my power, preeminence, and all the large effects that troop with majesty. Ourself, by monthly course, with reservation of 100 knights, by you to be sustained, shall our abode make with you by due turn. Only we shall retain the name and all the addition to a king, the sway, revenue, execution of the rest, beloved sons, be yours.
Royal Lear. Whom I have ever honored as my king, loved as my father, as my master followed.
The bow is bent and drawn, make from the shaft.
Let it fall, rather, though the fork invade the region of my heart. Be Kent unmannerly when Lear is mad? What wouldst thou do, old man? Think'st thou that duty shall have dread to speak when power to flattery bows? To plainness honors bound when majesty falls to folly? Reserve thy state, and in thy best consideration, check this hideous rashness. Answer my life, my judgment. Thy youngest daughter does not love thee least, nor are those empty-hearted whose low sounds reverb no hollowness.
Kent, on thy life, no more.
Oh, my life I never held but as a pawn to wage against thine enemies, ne'er feared to lose it, thy safety being motive.
Out of my sight!
See better, Lear.
Now by Apollo!
Oh, now by Apollo, king, thou swear'st thy gods in vain.
Oh, vassal, miscreant!
Dear sir!
Forbear!
Kill thy physician, and thy fee bestow upon the foul disease. Revoke thy gift! Or whilst I can vent clamour from my throat, I'll tell thee, thou dost evil.
Hear me, recreant, on thine allegiance. Hear me. That thou hast sought to make us break our vow. Take thy reward. 5 days we do allot, and on the sixth to turn thy hated back upon our kingdom. If on the next day following thy banished trunk be found in our dominions, the moment is thy death. Away.
Fare thee well, king, since thus thou wilt appear. Freedom lives hence, banishment is here. The gods to their dear shelter take thee, Cordelia, that justly think'st and hast most rightly said. And Goneril, Regan, your large speeches may your deeds approve, that good effects may spring from words of love. Thus, Kent, O princes, bid you all adieu. He'll shape his old course in a country new.
Here's France and Burgundy, my lord.
My lord of Burgundy, we first address toward you. What in the least will you require in present dower with her, or cease your quest of love?
Most royal majesty, I crave no more than hath your highness offered, nor will you tender less.
Right noble Burgundy, when she was dear to us, we did hold her so. But now her price is fallen. Sir, there she stands. If aught within that little seeming substance, or all of it, with our displeasure pieced, and nothing more may fitly like your grace, she's there, and she is yours.
I know no answer.
Will you, with those infirmities she owes, take her or leave her?
Pardon me, royal
then
sir.
Then leave her, sir! And by the power that made me, I tell you all her wealth. For you, great France, I would not from your love make such a stray to match you where I hate. Therefore beseech you to avert your liking a more worthier way than on the wretch whom nature is ashamed almost to acknowledge hers.
This is most strange. But she whom even but now was your object, the argument of your praise, balm of your age, the best, the dearest, should in this trice of time commit a thing so monstrous to dismantle so many folds of favour. Sure, her offence must be of such a natural degree that monsters it.
I yet beseech your majesty, if for I want that glib and oily art to speak and purpose not, since what I well intend, I'll do it before I speak, that you make known it is no vicious blot, murder or foulness, no unchaste action or dishonored step that hath deprived me of your grace and favor.
Better thou hadst not been born than not to have pleased me better.
Is it but this? My lord of Burgundy, what say you to the lady? Love's not love when it is mingled with regards that stands aloof from the entire point. Will you have her? She is herself a dower.
Royal king, give but that portion which yourself proposed, and here I take Cordelia by the hand, Duchess of Burgundy.
Nothing. I have sworn, I am firm.
I am sorry, then, you have so lost a father that you must lose a husband.
Peace be with Burgundy. Since that respect and fortunes are his love, I shall not be his wife.
Fairest Cordelia, but art most rich being poor. Most choice forsaken, and most loved despised. Thee and thy virtues here I seize upon. Be it lawful, I take up what's cast away. Gods, gods, 'tis strange, that from their cold neglect my love should kindle to inflamed respect. Thy dowerless daughter, king, thrown to my chance, is queen of us, of ours, and our fair France. Not all the dukes of waterish Burgundy can buy this unprized precious maid of me. Bid them farewell, Cordelia, though unkind. Thou losest here a better ware to find.
Thou hast her, France, let her be thine, for we have no such daughter, nor shall we ever see that face of hers again. Therefore be gone, without our grace, our love, our benison. Come, noble Burgundy.
Bid farewell to your sisters.
The jewels of our father. With washed eyes, Cordelia leaves you. I know you what you are, and like a sister, am most loath to call your faults as they are named. Love well our father. To your professed bosoms I commit him. But yet, alas, should I within his grace, I would prefer him to a better place. So farewell to you both.
Prescribe not us our duty.
Let your study be to content your lord, who hath received you at fortune's arms. You have obedience scanted, and well are worth the want that you have wanted.
Time shall unfold what plighted cunning hides, who covers faults at last with shame derides. Well may you prosper.
Come, my fair Cordelia.
Sister, I think our father will hence tonight.
That's most certain. And with you,
next month with us.
You see how full of changes his age is. He always loved our sister most. And with what poor judgment he hath now cast her off appears too grossly.
'Tis the infirmity of his age. Yet he hath ever but slenderly known himself.
The best and soundest of his time hath been but rash. Then must we look from his age to receive the unruly waywardness that infirm and choleric years bring with them.
Such unconstant starts are we like to have from him as this of Kent's banishment.
There is further compliment of leave-taking between France and him. Pray you, let us hit together. If our father carry authority with such disposition as he bears, this last surrender of his will but offend us.
We shall further think of it.
We must do something. And in the heat...
Thou, nature, art my goddess. To thy law my services are bound. Wherefore should I stand in the plague of custom and permit the curiosity of nations to deprive me, for that I am some 12 or 14 moonshines lag of a brother? Why, bastard? Wherefore base, when my dimensions are as well compact, my mind as generous, and my shape as true as honest madam's issue? Why brand thee us with base, with baseness, bastardy, base, base, who in the lusty stealth of nature take more composition and fierce quality than doth within a dull, stale, tired bed go to the creating a whole tribe of fops got between sleep and wake? Well then, legitimate Edgar, I must have your land. Our father's love is to the bastard Edmund as to the legitimate, fine word, legitimate. Well, my legitimate, if this letter speed and my invention thrive, Edmund the base shall top the legitimate. I grow, I prosper. Now, gods, stand up for bastards.
Kent banished thus, and France in choler parted. And the king gone into night, prescribed his power, confined to exhibition. All this done upon the gad. Edmund, how now? What news?
So please your lordship, none.
Why so earnestly seek you to put up that letter?
I know no news, my lord.
What paper were you reading?
Nothing, my lord.
No? What needed then that terrible dispatch of it into your pocket? The quality of nothing hath not such need to hide itself. Let's see. Come, if it be nothing, I shall not need spectacles.
I beseech you, sir, pardon me. It is a letter from my brother that I have not all o'er read. And for so much as I have perused, I find it not fit for your o'erlooking.
Give me the letter, sir.
I shall offend either to detain or give it. The contents, as in part I understand them, are to blame.
Let's see, let's see.
I hope for my brother's justification he wrote this but as an assay or taste of my virtue.
This policy and reverence of age makes the world bitter to the best of our times. Keeps our fortunes from us, till our oldness cannot relish them. Come to me, that of this I may speak more. If our father would sleep till I waked him, you should enjoy half his revenue forever, and live the beloved of your brother, Edgar. Sleep till I waked him? You should enjoy half his revenue? My son, Edgar, had he a hand to write this? A heart and brain to breed it in? When came you to this? Who brought it?
It was not brought me, my lord. There's the cunning of it. I found it thrown in at the casement of my closet.
You know the character to be your brother's?
If the matter were good, my lord, I durst swear it were his. But in respect of that, I would fain think it were not.
It is his?
It is his hand, my lord, but I hope his heart is not in the contents.
Has he never before sounded you in this business?
Never, my lord. But I have heard him oft maintain it to be fit that sons at perfect age and fathers declined, the father should be as ward to the son, and the son manage his revenue.
His very opinion in the letter. Go, sirrah, seek him. I'll apprehend him, abominable villain. Where is he?
I do not well know, my lord, if it shall please you to suspend your indignation against my brother till you can derive from him better testimony of his intent. You should run a certain course, where if you violently proceed against him, mistaking his purpose, it would make a great gap in your own honour and shake in pieces the heart of his obedience. I dare pawn down my life for him, that he hath writ this to feel my affection to your honour and to no other pretence of danger.
Think you so?
If your honour judge it meet, I will place you where you shall hear us confer of this.
These late eclipses in the sun and moon portend no good to us. Love cools, friendship falls off, brothers divide. In cities, mutinies, in countries, discord, in palaces, treason, and the bond crack twixt son and father. The king falls from bias of nature, thus father against child. We have seen the best of our time. Find out this villain, Edmund. It shall lose thee nothing. Do it carefully. And the noble and true-hearted Kent banished. His offence, honesty. 'Tis strange.
This is the excellent foppery of the world, that when we are sick in fortune, often the surfeits of our own behaviour, we make guilty of our disasters the sun, the moon and stars, as if we were villains on necessity, fools by heavenly compulsion, knaves, thieves and treachers by spherical predominance, drunkards, liars and adulterers by an enforced obedience of planetary influence, and all that we are evil in by a divine thrusting on. An admirable evasion of whoremaster man to lay his goatish disposition on the charge of a star. My father compounded with my mother under the dragon's tail, and my nativity was under Ursa Major, so that it follows I am rough and lecherous. I should have been that I am had the maidenliest star in the firmament twinkled on my bastardising.
How now, Brother Edmund? What serious contemplation are you in?
I am thinking, brother, of a prediction I read this other day, what should follow these eclipses.
Do you busy yourself with that?
I promise you the effects he writes of succeed unhappily. When saw you my father last?
The night gone by.
Speak you with him?
2 hours together.
Parted you in good terms? Found you no displeasure in him by word nor countenance?
None at all.
Bethink yourself wherein you may have offended him, and at my entreaty forbear his presence until some little time hath qualified the heat of his displeasure.
Some villain hath done me wrong.
That's my fear. Pray you, go. Here's my key. If you do stir abroad, go armed.
Armed, brother?
Brother, I advise you to the best. I am no honest man if there be any good meaning toward you. Pray you away.
Well, shall I hear from you or not?
I do serve you in this business.
A credulous father, and a brother noble, whose nature is so far from doing harms that he suspects none, on whose foolish honesty my practices ride easy. I see the business. Let me, if not by birth, have lands by wit. All with me's meat that I can fashion fit.
Did my father strike my gentleman for chiding of his fool?
Aye, madam.
By day and night he wrongs me. Every hour he flashes into one gross crime or other that sets us all at odds. I'll not endure it. His nights grow riotous and himself upbraids us on every trifle. When he returns from hunting, I will not speak with him. Say I'm sick. If you come slack of former services, you shall do well. The fault of it, I'll answer.
He's coming, madam. I hear him.
Put on what weary negligence you please, you and your fellows. I'd have it come to question. If he distaste it, let him to my sister, whose mind and mine, I know, in that are one not to be overruled. Idle old man, that still would manage those authorities that he hath given away. Now, by my life, old fools are babes again. Remember what I said.
Well, madam.
And let his knights have colder looks among you. What grows of it, no matter. Advise your fellows so. I'll write straight to my sister to hold my course. Prepare for dinner.
If but as will, I other accents borrow that can my speech diffuse. My good intent may carry through itself to that full issue for which I raised my likeness. Now, banished Kent, if thou canst serve where thou dost stand condemned, so may it come thy master, whom thou lovest, shall find thee full of labours.
Let me not stay a chop for dinner. How now, what art thou?
A man, sir.
What dost thou profess?
I do profess to be no less than I seem. To serve him truly that will put me in trust. To love him that is honest. To converse with him that is wise and says little. To fear judgment. To fight when I cannot choose. And to eat no fish.
What art thou?
Very honest-hearted fellow. And as poor as the king.
If thou be as poor for a subject as he's for a king, thou art poor enough. What wouldst thou?
Service.
Who wouldst thou serve?
You.
Dost thou know me, fellow?
No, sir, but you have that in your countenance which I would fain call master.
What's that?
Authority.
Follow me. If I like thee no worse after dinner, I will not part from thee yet.
Dinner? Oh,
dinner! Where's my knave, my fool? Sarah, where's my daughter?
So please you.
What says the fellow there? Call the crupper back. Where's my fool? Oh, I think the world's asleep.
How now? Where's that mongrel?
Oswald.
Yeah.
He says, my lord, your daughter is not well.
Why came not the slave back to me when I called him?
Sir, he answered me in the roundest manner he would not.
He would not? I will look further into it. But where's my fool? I've not seen him these 2 days.
Since my young lady's gone into France, sir, the fool hath much pined away.
Hear more of that. I've noted it well. Go you and tell my daughter I would speak with her.
Sir.
And call hither my fool. Oh, you, sir. You, come you hither, sir. Who am I, sir?
My lady's father.
My lady's father? My lord's knave, you horse and dog, you slave, you cur.
I am none of these, my lord. I beseech your pardon.
You bandy looks with me, you rascal.
Ah! I'll not be struck in, my lord.
Not tripped neither, you base football player. Come on, sir. Arise, away. Teach you differences. Away, away. If you will measure your lover's length again, tarry. But away, go to! Go on, boy! Have your wisdom! So.
My friendly knave, I thank thee. There's earnest of thy service.
Let me hire him too.
How now, my pretty fool? How dost thou?
Sarah, I'll teach thee a speech.
Do, boy.
Mark it, nuncle. Have more than thou showest. Speak less than thou knowest. Lend less than thou owest. Ride more than thou goest. Learn more than thou trowest. Set less than thou throwest. Leave thy drink in thy whore, and keep in a door, and thou shalt have more than 2 tens to a score.
This is nothing, fool.
You gave me nothing for it. Can you make no use of nothing, nuncle?
Why, no, boy. Nothing can be made out of nothing.
Prithee tell him, so much the rent of his land, he will not believe a fool.
A bitter fool.
Dost thou know the difference, my boy, between a bitter fool and a sweet one?
No, lad. Teach me.
That lord counseled thee to give away thy land. Come place him here by me. Do thou for him stand. The sweet and bitter fool will presently appear, the one in motley here, the other found out there.
Dost thou call me fool, boy?
All other titles thou hast given away. That thou was born with.
This is not altogether fool, my lord.
Nuncle, give me an egg, and I'll give thee 2 crowns.
What 2 crowns shall they be?
Why, after I have cut the egg of the middle and eat up the meat, the 2 crowns of the egg. When thou clovest thy crown of the middle and gavest away both parts, thou borest thine ass on thy back o'er the dirt. Thou hast little wit in thy bald crown when thou gav'st thy golden one away. If I speak like myself in this, let him be whipped at first finds it so. Fools had ne'er less grace in a year, for wise men are grown foppish, and know not how their wits to wear, their manners are so apish.
When were you wont to be so full of song, sirrah?
I have used it, nuncle, ere since thou mad'st thy daughters thy mothers, for when thou gav'st them the rod and puttest down thine own breeches, then they for sudden joy did weep, and I for sorrow sung, that such a king should play bo peep and go the fools among.
Prithee, nuncle, keep a schoolmaster that can teach thy fool to lie. I would fain learn to lie.
And you lie, sirrah, will have you whipped.
I marvel what kin thou and thy daughters are. Thou'd have me whipped for lying, and sometimes I am whipped for holding my peace. I had rather be any kind of thing than a fool, and yet I would not be thee, nuncle. Thou hast paired thy wit o' both sides and left nothing of the middle. Oh, here comes one of the pairings.
How now, daughter? What makes that frontlet on? You are too much of late i' the frown.
Thou wast a pretty fellow when thou hast no need to care for her frowning. I am better than thou art now. I am a fool. Thou art nothing.
Yes, forsooth, I will hold my tongue so your face bids me, though you say nothing.
Not only, sir, this. You're all licensed fool, but other of your insolent retinue do hourly carp and quarrel, breaking forth in rank and not to be endured riots. Sir, I had thought by making this well known unto you to have found a safe redress, but now grow fearful by what yourself too late have spoken done, that you protect this course and put it on by your allowance.
For you know, nuncle, the hedge sparrow fed the cuckoo so long that it had its head bit off by its young. So out went the candle, and we were left darkling.
Are you our daughter?
I would you would make use of your good wisdom, whereof I know you are fraught, and put away these dispositions which of late transport you from what you rightly are.
May not an ass know when the cart draws the horse? Whoop, jog, I love thee.
Does any here know me? This is not Lear. Does Lear walk thus? Speak thus? Where are his eyes? Who is it that can tell me who I am?
Lear's shadow.
Your name, fair gentlewoman?
This admiration, sir, is much the savour of other your new pranks. I do beseech you to understand my purposes aright. As you are old and reverend, should be wise. Here do you keep 100 knights and squires, men so disordered, so debauched and bold, that this our court, infected with their manners, shows like a riotous inn. Epicurism and lust make it more like a tavern or a brothel than a graced palace. The shame itself doth speak for instant remedy. Be then desired by her, that else will take the things she begs, a little to disquantity your train, and the remainders that shall still depend to be such men as may besort your age, which know themselves and you.
Darkness and devils. Saddle my horses. Call my train together. Degenerate bastard, I'll not trouble thee. Yet have I left a daughter.
You strike my people, and your disordered rabble make servants of their betters.
Wool that too late repents. Oh, my lord of Albany, are you come? Is it your will? Speak, sir. Prepare my horses. Ingratitude, thou marble-hearted fiend, more hideous when thou show'st thee in a child than the sea monster.
Pray, sir, be patient.
Detested kite, thou liest, my trainer, men of choice and rarest parts that all particulars of duty know.
Oh, my small fault, how ugly didst thou in Cordelia show, which like an engine wrenched my frame of nature from the fixed place, drew from my heart all love and added to the gall. Oh, Lear, 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 beat at this gate that let thy folly in and thy dear judgment out.
Go, go, my people.
My lord, I am guiltless as I am ignorant of what hath moved you.
It may be so, my lord. Here, nature. Here, dear goddess, here. Suspend thy purpose if thou didst intend to make this creature fruitful. Into her womb convey sterility.
dry up in her the organs of increase, and from her derogate body never spring a babe to honor her. If she must teem, create her child of spleen, that it may live and be a thwart disnatured torment to her. Let it stamp wrinkles in her brow of youth, with cadent tears fret channels in her cheeks, turn all her mother's pains and benefits to laughter and contempt, that she may feel how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. Away! Away!
Now, gods that we adore, wherefore comes this?
Never afflict yourself to know more of it. But let his disposition have that scope as dotage gives it.
What? 50 of my followers at a clap? Within a fortnight?
What's the matter, sir?
I'll tell thee. Goneril. I am ashamed that thou hast power to shake my manhood thus, that these hot tears which break from me perforce should make thee worth them. Blasts and fogs upon thee. The untinted woundings of a father's curse pierce every sense about thee. Oh, fond eyes, the weakness cause again, I'll pluck thee out and cast you in the water that you loose to temper clay. Let it be so. I have another daughter, who I'm sure is kind and comfortable. When she shall hear this of thee, with her nail shall flay thy wolfish visage. Thou shalt find that I'll resume the shape which thou dost think I have cast off forever.
Do you mark that?
I cannot be so partial, Goneril, to the great love I bear.
Pray you content. Would Oswald trow? You, sir, more knave than fool, after your master.
Nuncle Lear, tarry, take the fool with thee. A fox, when one has caught her, and such a daughter, should sure to the slaughter, if my cap would buy a halter. So the fool follows after.
100 nights. 'Tis politic and safe to let him keep at point 100 nights, yes. That on every dream, each buzz, each fancy, each complaint, dislike, he may enguard his dotage with their powers and hold our lives in mercy. Oswald, I say!
Well, you may fear too far.
Safer than trust too far. Let me still take away the harms I fear. Not fear still to be taken. I know his heart. How now, Oswald? What? Have you writ that letter to my sister?
Aye, madam.
Take you some company and away to horse. Inform her full of my particular fear, and thereto add such reasons of your own as may compact it more. Get you gone. And hasten your return.
My lady.
No, Albany. This milky gentleness and course of yours, though I condemn not, yet under pardon, you are much more at task for want of wisdom than praised for harmful mildness.
How far your eyes may pierce, I cannot tell. Striving to better, oft we mar what's well.
Nay, then.
Well, the event.
Go you before to Regan with this letter. Acquaint my daughter no further with anything you know than comes from her demand out of the letter. If your diligence be not speedy, I shall be there for you.
I will not sleep, my lord, till I've delivered your letter.
If a man's brains were in his heels, were it not in danger of kipes?
Aye, boy.
But I prithee be merry. Thy wit shall not go slipshod. Shalt see thy other daughter will use thee kindly. For though she's as like this as a crab's like an apple, yet I can tell what I can tell.
What canst thou tell, boy?
She will taste as like this as a crab does to a crab. Thou canst tell why one's nose stands in the middle one's face?
No.
Why, to keep one's eyes of either side's nose. That what a man cannot smell out, he may spy into.
I did her wrong.
Canst tell how an oyster makes his shell? Nor I neither. But I can tell why a snail has a house.
Why?
Why, to put his head in. Not to give it away to his daughters and leave his horns without a case.
I will forget my nature. So kind a father.
Be my horses ready.
Thy asses are gone about him. The reason why the seven stars are no more than seven is a pretty reason.
Because they are not eight.
Yes, indeed. Thou wouldst make a good fool.
To take it again perforce. Monster ingratitude.
If thou wert my fool, Nuncle, I'd have thee beaten for being old before thy time.
How's that?
Thou shouldst not have been old till thou hast been wise.
Oh, let me not be mad. Not mad. Sweet hell. Boy, keep me in temper. I would not be mad. How now? Are the horses ready?
Ready, my lord.
Come, boy.
Brother, a word. Brother, I say. My father watches. Oh, sir, fly this place. Intelligence is given where you are hid. You have now the good advantage of the night. Have you not spoken against the Duke of Cornwall? He's coming hither, now, at the night, at the haste, and Regan with him.
Not a word.
I hear my father coming. Pardon me. In cunning, I must draw my sword upon you.
Draw.
Seem to defend yourself. Now, quit you well. Yield. Come before my father. Light ho here.
Fly, brother.
Torches, torches. So farewell.
Some blood drawn in me would beget opinion of my more fierce endeavour. I have seen drunkards do more than this in sport.
Oh, father! Father, stop! Stop! No help!
Now, Edmund, where's the villain?
Here stood he in the dark, his sharp sword out, mumbling of wicked charms, conjuring the moon to stand auspicious mistress.
But where is he?
Look, sir, I bleed.
Where is the villain, Edmund?
I've fled this way, sir, when by no means he could...
By no means what?
Persuade me to the murder of your lordship, but that I told him the revenging gods against parricides did all the thunder bend, spoke with how manifold and strong a bond the child was bound to the father.
Let him fly far. Not in this land shall he remain uncaught. And found... dispatch. The noble Duke, my master, my worthy arch and patron, comes tonight. By his authority, I will proclaim it that he which finds him shall deserve our thanks, bringing the murderous coward to the stake. He that conceals him, death.
When I dissuaded him from his intent, and found him pitched to do it, with cursed speech I threatened to discover him. He replied, "Thou unpossessing bastard, dost thou think, if I would stand against thee, would the reposal of any trust, virtue, or worth in thee make thy words faith?"
Oh, strange and fastened villain. Would he deny his letter, said he?
Gloucester?
Hark, the Duke. I know not why he comes. All ports I'll bar. The villain shall not scape. Cornwall must grant me that. Besides, his picture I will send far and near, that all the kingdom may have due note of him. And of my land, loyal and natural boy, I'll work the means to make thee capable.
How now, my noble friend? Since I came hither, which I can call but now, I have heard strange news.
How dost, my lord?
Oh, madam, my old heart is cracked. It's cracked.
What, did my father's godson seek your life? He whom my father named, your Edgar.
Oh, lady, lady, shame would have it hid.
Edmund, I hear that you have shown your father a childlike office.
It was my duty, sir.
He did betray his practice and received this hurt, you see, striving to apprehend him.
Is Edgar pursued?
Aye, my good lord.
If he be taken, he shall never more be feared of doing harm. For you, Edmund, whose virtue and obedience doth this instant so much commend itself, you shall be ours.
I shall serve you, sir, truly, however else.
For him, I thank your grace.
You know not why we came to visit you.
Thus out of season, threading dark-eyed night, Occasions, noble Gloucester, of some prize, wherein we must have use of your advice. Our father, he hath writ, so hath our sister, of differences which I best thought it fit to answer from our home. The several messengers from hence attend dispatch. Our good old friend, lay comforts to your bosom, and bestow your needful counsel to our businesses, which crave the instant use.
I serve you, madam. Your graces are right welcome.
Good morning to thee, friend. Out of this house?
Aye.
Where may we set our horses?
In a mire.
Prithee, if thou lovest me, tell me.
I love thee not.
Why then, I care not for thee.
I would make thee care for me.
Why dost thou use me thus? I know thee not.
Oh, fellow, I know thee.
What dost thou know me for?
A knave. A rascal. An eater of broken meats. A base, proud, shallow, beggarly, three-suited, 100-pound, filthy, worsted stocking knave. A lily-livered, action-taking, whoreson, glass-gazing, super-serviceable, finical rogue. And I've nothing but the composition of a knave, beggar, coward, pander, and the son and heir of a mongrel bitch.
Hey.
One whom I will beat into a clamorous whining if thou deniest the least syllable of thy addition.
Why, what a monstrous fellow art thou. Dost a rail on one that is neither known of thee nor knows thee.
What a brazen-faced varlet art thou to deny thou knowest me. Is it 2 days since I tripped up thy heels and beat thee before the king? Draw, you rogue.
Away. I'll have nothing to do with thee.
Draw, you rascal. You come with letters against the king. Draw, you rogue, or I'll so carbonado your shanks. Draw, you rascal, come your ways.
Help! Oh, Mardon, help!
Strike, slave! Stand, rogue! Stand, you neat slave! Strike!
Help! Oh, Mardon! Mardon!
Apart! Oh, with you, goodman boy, if you please. Come, I'll flesh you. Come on, young master!
Weapons, arms, what's the matter here?
Keep peace upon your life! He dies at Straits again! What is the matter?
The messengers from our sister and the king.
What is your difference? Speak!
I am scarce in breath, my lord.
Speak yet! How grew your quarrel?
This ancient ruffian, sir, whose life I have spared at suit of his greybeard.
My lord, if you will give me leave, I will tread this unbolted villain into mortar and daub the wall of a jakes with him. Spare my greybeard, you wagtail!
Oh. Peace, sirrah! You beastly knave, know you no reverence?
Oh, yes, sir, but anger hath a privilege.
Why art thou angry?
That such a slave as this would wear a sword who wears no honesty. A plague upon your epileptic visage. Smile you my speeches as I were a fool?
What? Art thou mad, old fellow?
How fell you out, say that?
No contraries hold more antipathy than I am such a knave.
What is his fault?
His countenance likes me not.
No more, perchance, does mine. Nor his, nor hers.
Sir, 'tis my occupation to be plain. I have seen better faces in my time than stands on any shoulder that I see before me at this instant.
What was the offense you gave him?
I never gave him any. Pleased the king, his master, very late to strike at me, when he, compact and flattering his displeasure, tripped me behind. Being down, insulted, railed, and in the fleshment of this dread exploit, drew on me here again.
Fetch forth the stocks! You stubborn ancient knave, you reverent braggart, we'll teach you!
Sir, I am too old to learn. Call not your stocks from me. I serve the king, on whose employment I was sent to you.
As I have life and honor, there shall he sit till noon.
Till noon? Till night, my lord. And all night, too.
Why, madam, if I were your father's dog, you should not use me so.
Sir, being his knave, I will.
This is a fellow of the selfsame color our sister speaks of.
Let me beseech your grace not to do so. The king, his master, needs must take it ill that he so slightly valued in his messenger should have him thus restrained.
I'll answer that.
My sister may receive it much more worse to have her gentleman abused, assaulted. Come, my lord, away.
I am sorry for thee, friend.
'Tis the Duke's pleasure, whose disposition all the world well knows, will not be rubbed nor stopped. I'll entreat for thee.
Oh, pray do not, sir. I have watched, travelled hard. Sometime I shall sleep out, the rest I'll whistle. A good man's fortune may grow out at heels. I give you good morrow.
The Duke's to blame in this. 'Twill be ill taken.
Good king, that must approve the common saw. Thou out of heaven's benediction com'st to the warm sun. Approach, thou beacon to this underglobe, that by thy comfortable beams I may peruse this letter. I know 'tis from Cordelia, who hath most fortunately been informed of my obscured course, and shall find time from this enormous state seeking to give lossies their remedies. All weary and o'erwatched, take vantage, heavy eyes, not to behold this shameful lodging. Fortune, good night. Smile once more. Turn thy wheel.
I heard myself proclaimed, and by the happy hollow of a tree escaped the hunt. No port is free, no place that guard and most unusual vigilance does not attend my taking. Whilst I may escape, I will preserve myself, and am bethought to take the basest and most poorest shape that ever penury and contempt of man brought near to beast. My face I'll grime with filth, blanket my loins, elf all my hairs in knots, and with presented nakedness outface the winds and persecutions of the sky. The country gives me proof and precedent of bedlam beggars, who with roaring voices strike in their numbed and mortified arms pins, wooden pricks, nails, sprigs of rosemary, and with this horrible object from low farms, poor pelting villages, sheep's coats and mills, sometimes with lunatic bands, sometimes with prayers, enforce their charity. Poor Turlygod, poor Tom. That's something yet. Edgar, I nothing am.
It is strange that they should so depart from home and not send back my messenger.
Hail to thee, noble master!
Makes thou this shame thy pastime?
No, my lord.
He wears cruel garters. Horses are tied by their heads, dogs and bears by the neck, monkeys by the loins, and men by the legs. When a man's over lusty at legs, then he wears wooden nether stocks.
What's he that hath so much thy place mistook to set thee here?
It is both he and she, your son and daughter.
No.
Yes.
No, I say.
I say yea.
They durst not do it. They could not, would not do it. 'Tis worse than murder to do upon respect such violent outrage.
Winter's not gone yet, if the wild geese fly that way.
Oh, how this mother swells up toward my heart. Hysterica passio down, thou climbing sorrow, thy elements below.
Where is this daughter?
With the arrow, sir. Here within.
Follow me not, boy. Stay here.
How chance the king comes to so small a number?
And thou hast been set at the stocks for that question, thou'st well deserved it.
Why, fool?
Let go thy hold when a great wheel runs down a hill, lest it break thy neck with following. But the great one that goes upward, let him draw thee after. When a wise man gives thee better counsel, give me mine again. I would have none but knaves follow it, since a fool gives it. That sir which serves and seeks for gain, and follows but for form, will pack when it begins to rain, and leave thee in the storm. But I will tarry, the fool will stay, and let the wise man fly. The knave turns fool that runs away, the fool no knave, but eh.
Where learned you this, fool?
Not of the stocks, fool.
Deny to speak with me. They are sick, they are weary, they have travelled overnight.
My dear lord, you know the fiery quality of the Duke. How unremovable and fixed he is in his own course.
Vengeance, plague, death, confusion. Fiery? What quality?
Well, Gloucester, I'd speak with the Duke of Cornwall and his wife.
Well, my good lord, I have informed them so.
Informed them? Dost thou understand me, man?
Aye, my good lord.
The king would speak with Cornwall. The dear father would with his daughter speak. Commands her service. Are they informed of this? My breath and blood. Fiery, the fiery Duke. Oh, tell the hot Duke that...
No, but not yet. Maybe he is not well. Infirmity doth still neglect all office whereto our health is bound. We are not ourselves when nature, being oppressed, commands the mind to suffer with the body. I'll forbear.
Death on my state! Wherefore should my servant sit here? This act persuades me that this remoteness of the Duke and her is practice only. Go, tell the Duke and his wife I'd speak with them now, presently. Bid them come forth and hear me, or at their chamber door I'll beat the drum till it cries sleep to death.
I would have all well betwixt you.
Oh, me, my heart, my rising heart. But down.
Cry to it, Nuncle, as the Cockney did to the eels when she put him at the paste alive. She napped him with her heads with a stick and cried, down, wantons, down. 'Twas her brother that in pure kindness to his horse buttered his hay.
Good morrow to you both.
Hail to your grace.
I am glad to see your highness.
Regan, I think you are. I know what reason I have to think so. If thou should not be glad, I would divorce me from thy mother's tomb. Oh, are you free? Some other time for that.
Beloved Regan, thy sister's naught. Oh, Regan, she hath tied sharp-toothed unkindness like a vulture to my heart. Oh, I can scarce speak to thee. Thou'll not believe with how depraved a quality. Oh, Regan.
I pray you, sir, take patience. I have hope you less know how to value her desert than she to scant her duty.
Say, how is that?
I cannot think my sister in the least would fail her obligation. If, sir, perchance she have restrained the riots of your followers, 'tis on such ground and to such wholesome end as clears her from all blame.
My curses on her.
Oh, sir, you are old. Nature in you stands on the very verge of his confine. You should be ruled and led by some discretion that discerns your state better than you yourself. Therefore, I pray you that to our sister you do make return. Say you have wronged her.
Ask her forgiveness. Do you but mark how this becomes the house? Dear daughter, I confess that I am old. Age is unnecessary. On my knees, I beg that you'll vouchsafe me raiment, bed, and food.
Good sir, no more. These are unsightly tricks. Return you to my sister.
Never, Regan. She hath abated me of half my train, looked black upon me, struck me with a tongue most serpent-like upon the very heart. All the stored vengeance of heaven fall on her ungrateful top. Strike her young bones, you talking airs, with lameness. You nimble lightnings dart your blinding flames into her scornful eyes. Infect her beauty, you fen-sucked fogs drawn by the powerful sun to fall and blister.
Oh, the blessed God, so you wish on me when the rash mood is on.
No, Regan, thou shalt never have my curse. Thy tender, hefted nature shall not give thee aught to harshness. Her eyes are fierce, but thine do comfort and not burn. 'Tis not in thee to grudge my pleasures, to oppose the bolt against my coming in. Thou better knowest the offices of nature, bond of childhood, effects of courtesy, dues of gratitude. Thy half of the kingdom hast thou not forgot, wherein I be endowed.
Good sir, to the purpose.
Who put my man in the stocks?
Your sister's come?
This is a slave whose easy borrowed pride dwells in the sickly grace of her he follows. Oh, father, from my sight!
What means your grace?
Who stopped my servant?
Regan. I have good hope thou didst not know aunt. Who comes here?
Oh, heavens, if you do love old men, if your sweet sway are love obedience, if you yourselves are old, make it your cause, send down and take my part.
Oh, Goneril, art not ashamed to look upon this beard? Oh, Regan, will you take her by the hand?
Why not by the hand, sir? How have I offended? All's not offence that indiscretion finds and dotage turns so.
Oh, sides, will you yet hold?
How came my man in the stock?
I set him there, sir.
You? Did you?
I pray you, father, being weak seems so. If, till the expiration of your month, you will return and sojourn with my sister, dismissing half your train, then come to me. I am now from home, and out of that provision which shall be needful for your entertainment.
Return to her, and 50 men dismissed? No, rather, I abjure all roofs, and choose to wage against the enmity of the air, to be a comrade with the wolf and owl. Necessity's sharp pinch. Return with her? Persuade me rather to be slave and pack horse to her detested groom.
At your choice, sir.
Goneril, I prithee, do not make me mad. I will not trouble thee, my child. Farewell. We'll no more meet, no more see one another. But yet, thou art my flesh, my blood, my daughter. Or rather, a disease that's in my flesh, which I must needs call mine. Thou art a boil, a plague sore, or embossed carbuncle in my corrupted blood. But I'll not chide thee. Let shame come when it will. I do not call it. I can be patient. I can stay with Regan, I and my 100 knights.
Not altogether so. I look not for you yet, nor am provided for your fit welcome. Give ear, sir, to my sister. For those that mingle reason with your passion must be content to think you old, and so... But she knows what she does.
Is this well spoken?
I dare avouch it, sir. What, 50 followers? Is it not well? What should you need of more? Yea, or so many, sith that both charge and danger speak against so great a number. How in one house should many people under two commands hold amity? 'Tis hard, almost impossible.
Why might not you, my lord, receive attendance from those that she calls servants, or from mine?
Why not, my lord? If then they chance to slack ye, we could control them. If you will come to me, for now I spy a danger, I entreat you to bring but 25. To no more will I give place or notice.
I gave you all.
And in good time you gave it.
Made you my guardians, my depositaries, but kept a reservation to be followed with such a number. What must I come to you with 25? Regan said you so.
And speak again, my lord. No more with me.
Those wicked creatures yet do look well favored when others are more wicked. Not being the worst stands in some rank of praise. I'll go with thee, Goneril. Thy 50 yet doth double 25, and thou art twice her love.
What need you 25? 10 or 5 to follow in a house where twice so many have a command to tend you?
What need one?
Oh, reason not the need! Our basest beggars are in the poorest things superfluous. Allow not nature more than nature needs. Man's life is as cheap as beasts. Thou art a lady. If only to grow warm were gorgeous. Why, nature needs not what thou gorgeous wear'st, which scarcely keeps thee warm, but for true need. You heavens, give me that patience. Patience I need. You see me here, you gods, a poor old man, as full of grief as age, wretched in both. If it be you that stirs these daughters' hearts against their father, fool me not so much to bear it tamely. Touch me with noble anger, and let not women's weapons, water drops, stain my man's cheeks. No. You unnatural hags, I will have such revenges on you both that all the world shall. I will do such thing
what they are yet, I know not. But they shall be the terrors of the earth! You think I'll weep? No, I'll not weep. I have full cause of weeping. But this heart shall break into 100,000 floors, or ere I'll weep. Oh, fool, I shall go mad.
Let us withdraw. It will be a storm.
This house is little. The old man and his people cannot be well bestowed.
'Tis his own blame. Hath put himself from rest, and must needs taste his folly.
For his particular, I'll receive him gladly, but not one follower.
So am I purposed. Where is my lord of Gloucester?
The king is in high rage.
Whither is he going?
He calls to horse, but will I know not whither.
My lord, entreat him by no means to stay.
Alack, the night comes on, and the high winds do sorely ruffle. For many miles about, there's scarce a bush.
Oh, sir, to willful men, the injuries that they themselves procure must be their schoolmasters. Shut up your doors. He is attended with a desperate train, and what they may incense him to, being apt to have his ear abused, wisdom bids fear.
Shut up your doors, my lord. 'Tis a wild night. Come out of the storm.
Who's there? Besides foul weather.
One-minded like the weather, most unquietly.
I know you. Where's the king?
Contending with the fretful elements. Bids the wind blow the earth into the sea, or swell the curled waters above the main, that things might change or cease.
But who is with him?
None but the fool, who labours to outjest his heart-struck injuries.
Ah, sir, I do know you, and dare upon the warrant of my note commend a dear thing to you. There is a division, although as yet the face of it is covered with mutual cunning twixt Albany and Cornwall. But true it is, from France there comes a power into this scattered kingdom, who already, wise in our negligence, have secret feet in some of our best ports, and are at point to show their open banner.
I will talk further with you.
No, no, do not. For confirmation that I am much more than my outwall, open this purse. Take what it contains. If you shall see Cordelia, I fear not, but you shall. Show her this ring. She will tell you who that fellow is that yet you do not know. Oh, fie on the storm! I will go seek the king!
Crack your cheeks, rage. Blow, you cataracts and hurricanes. Spout till you have drenched our steeples, drowned the cocks. You sulphurous and thought-executing fires, vaunt couriers of oak-cleaving thunderbolts, singe my white head. And thou, all-shaking thunder, strike flat the thick rotundity of the world, crack nature's mould, all germens spill at once that makes ingrateful man.
Good uncle,
in, ask thy daughter's blessing. Here's a knight pities neither wise men nor fools.
Rumble thy bellyful, spit fire, spout rain, nor rain, wind, thunder, fire are my daughters. I tax not you, you elements, with unkindness. I never gave you kingdom, called you children. You owe me no subscription. Then let fall your horrible pleasure. Here I stand, your slave, a poor, infirm, weak, and despised old man. But yet I call you servile ministers, that will with two pernicious daughters join your high-engendered battles against a head so old and white as this. Oh, tis foul.
He that has a house to put his head in has a good headpiece.
No, I will be the pattern of all patience. I will say nothing.
Who's there?
Marry, here's grace and a codpiece. That's a wise man and a fool.
Alas, sir! Ah, are you here? Things that love night love not such nights as these. The wrathful skies gallow the very wanderers of the dark and make them keep the caves. Since I was man, such sheets of fire, such bursts of horrid thunder, such groans of roaring wind and rain, I never remember to have heard. Man's nature cannot carry the affliction, nor the fear.
Let the great gods that keep this dreadful pallor o'er our heads find out their enemies now. Tremble, thou wretch that hast within thee undivulged crimes and whipped of justice. Hide thee, thou bloody hand, thou perjured, and thou simular of virtue that art incestuous. Caitiff, to pieces shake, that under covert and convenient seeming has practiced on man's life. I am a man more sinned against than sinning.
Alack, bareheaded? Ah, gracious my lord. Hard by here is a hovel. Some friendship will it lend you against the tempest.
My wits begin to turn.
Come on, my boy! How does my boy? Oh, not cold. I'm cold myself. Where is this straw, my fellow? The art of our necessities is strange and can make vile things precious. Come, your hovel. Poor fool and knave, I have one part in my heart and sorry yet for thee.
Let pass and a little tiny wit with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain. Must make content with his fortune's fit, though the rain it raineth every day.
True, boy.
Come, bring us to this hovel.
This is a brave knight to cool a courtesan. I'll speak a prophecy ere I go. When priests are more in word than matter, when brewers mar their malt with water, when nobles are their tailors' tutors, no heretics burned but wenches' suitors, then shall the realm of Albion come to great confusion. When every case in law is right, no squire in debt, nor no poor knight, when slanders do not live in tongues, nor cut purses come not to throngs, when usurers tell their gold in a field, and bawds and whores do churches build, then comes the time, who lives to see it, that going shall be used with feet. This prophecy Merlin shall make, for I live before his time.
Alack, alack, Edmund, I like not this unnatural dealing. When I desired their leave that I might pity him, they took from me the use of mine own house, charged me on pain of perpetual displeasure neither to speak of him, entreat for him, or any way sustain him.
Most savage and unnatural.
Go to, say you nothing. There is division between the dukes, and a worse matter than that. I have received a letter this night. 'Tis dangerous to be spoken. I have locked the letter in my closet. These injuries the king now bears will be revenged home. There is part of a power already fruited. We must incline to the king. I will look him and privily relieve him. Go you and maintain talk with the duke that my charity be not of him perceived. If he ask for me, I am ill and gone to bed. If I die for it, as no less is threatened me, the king, my old master, must be relieved. There is strange things toward. Edmund, pray you be careful.
This courtesy forbid thee, shall the duke instantly know, and of that letter too. This seems a fair deserving, and must draw me that which my father loses. No less than all, the younger rises when the old doth fall.
Here is the place, my lord. Good my lord, enter. tyranny of the open night's too rough for nature to endure.
Let me alone.
Could my lord enter here?
Would break my heart.
I'd rather break mine own. Could my lord enter?
Thou think'st as much that this contentious storm invades us to the skin, so it is to thee. But where the greater malady is fixed, the lesser is scarce felt. The tempest in my mind doth from my senses take all feeling else save what beats there. Filial ingratitude! It's such a night to shut me out! Pour on! I will endure! In such a night as this, oh, regal Goneril! Your old kind father, whose frank heart gave all, oh, that way madness lies. Let me shun that. No more of that.
Could my lord enter here?
Oh, prithee, go in thyself. Take thine own ease. This tempest will not give me leave to ponder on things would hurt me more. But I'll go in. In, boy. Go first. Nay, get thee in. I'll pray. And then I'll sleep.
Poor naked wretches, wheresoe'er you are, that bide the pelting of this pitiless storm, how shall your houseless heads and unfed sides, your looped and windowed raggedness, defend you from seasons such as these? Oh, I have taken too little care of this. Take physic, pomp. Expose thyself to feel what wretches feel, that thou mayst shake the superflux to them and show the heavens more just.
Fatherman Hap! Fatherman Hap! Oh, poor boy!
Come, Martin, here, Nuncle! Here's a spirit! Help me! Help me!
Give me my hand! Who's there?
A spirit! A spirit! He says his name's Poor Tom!
What art thou that dost grumble there of the straw? Come forth!
Away! The foul fiend follows me! Through the sharp hawthorn blow the winds! Go to thy bed and warm thee.
Didst thou give all to thy daughters, and art thou come to this?
Oh, who gives anything to poor Tom, whom the foul fiend hath led through fire and through flame, through sword and whirlpool, o'er bog and quagmire? Bless thy five wits. Oh, Tom's a cold. Bless thee from whirlwinds, star blasting and taking. Do poor Tom some charity, when the foul fiend vexes. And there, I could have him now. And there again, and there.
Has his daughters brought him to this pass? Oh, couldst thou save nothing? Wouldst thou give him all?
Nay, he reserved a blanket, else we had been all shamed.
Now all the plagues that in the pendulous air hang fated all men's faults, light on thy daughter.
He hath no daughter, sir.
Death, traitor, nothing could have subdued nature to such a lowness but his unkind daughters. Is it the fashion that discarded fathers should have thus little mercy on their flesh? Judicious punishment. 'Twas this flesh begot those pelican daughters.
Pillacock sat on Pillacock Hill. Hello, hello, Lulu.
It's cold nuggets on us all to fools in mad men.
Take heed of the foul fiend. Obey thy parents. Keep thy words justice. Swear not. Commit not with man's sworn spouse. Set not thy sweetheart on proud array. Oh, Tom's a call.
What hast thou been?
Oh, a serving man. Proud in heart and mind. That curled my hair. Wore gloves in my cap. Served the lust of my mistress' heart. And did the act of darkness with her. Swore as many oaths as I spake words and broke them in the sweet face of heaven. Wine loved I dearly, dice dearly, and in women out paramoured the Turk. False of heart, light of ear, bloody of hand, hog in sloth, fox in stealth, wolf in greediness, dog in madness, lion in prey.
Thou wert better in a grave than to answer with thy uncovered body this extremity of the sky. Is man no more than this? Consider him well. Thou owest the worm no silk, the beast no hide, the sheep no wool, the cat no perfume. Here's three odds are sophisticated.
thou art the thing itself. Unaccommodated man is no more but such a poor, bare, forked animal as thou art.
Off, you lending! Oh, come, unbutton here.
I prithee, none could be contented. It is a naughty night to swim in. Look, here comes a walking fire.
Oh, this is the foul fiend, Flipperty Gibbet.
Sweet old Boudet, thrice the old. He met the nightmare and a nine fool. Been in a light and a tough flight and a right thee, witch, a right thee.
How fares your grace?
What's he?
Who's there? What is to seek?
What are you there? Your name?
Poor Tom. It's the swimming frog, the toad, the tadpole, the walnut, and the water that in the fury of his heart when the foul fiend rages, eats cow dung for salads. Swallows the old rat in the ditch dog, drinks the green mantle of the standing pool who is stalked and punished and imprisoned.
What hath your grace no better company?
Oh, the Prince of Darkness is a gentleman.
Our flesh and blood, my lord, has grown so vile that it doth hate when get it.
Poor Tom's a cold.
Go in with me, sir. My duty cannot suffer to obey in all your daughter's heart commands, though their injunction be to bar my doors and let this tyrannous night take hold upon you, yet have I ventured to come seek you out and bring you where both fire and food is ready.
First let me talk with this philosopher. What is the cause of thunder?
Will my lord take his offer? Go into the house!
I'll talk a word with this same learned Theban. What is your study?
How to prevent the fiend and to kill vermin.
Well, let me ask you one word in private.
Importune him once more to go, my lord. His wits begin to unsettle.
Canst thou blame him? His daughter seek his death. Ah, that good Kent, he said it would be thus, poor banished man. Thou sayest the king grows mad, I'll tell thee, friend, I'm almost mad myself. I had a son, now outlawed from my blood. He sought my life, but lately, very late. I loved him, friend, no father his son dearer. True to tell thee, the grief hath crazed my wits. What a night is this. I do beseech your grace.
Oh, cry you mercy, sir. Noble philosopher, your company.
Ah, Tom's a cold.
In, fella, here into the hovel. Keep thee warm.
Yes, come, let's in all.
This way, my lord.
With him, I will keep still with my philosopher.
Oh, good, my lord. Soothe him. Let him take the fellow.
Take him, you.
Sarah, come on. Come along with us.
Come, good Athenian.
Child Roland to the dark tower came. His word was still fine. Foe and thumb. I smell the blood of a British man.
No words, no words. Hush.
I will have my revenge ere I depart his house.
How malicious is my fortune that I must repent to be just. This is the letter which he spoke of, which approves him an intelligent party to the advantages of France. Oh, heavens, that this treason were not, or not I, the detector.
Go with me to Regan.
If the matter of this paper be certain, you have mighty business in hand.
True or false, it hath made thee Earl of Gloucester. And seek out where thy father is, that he may be ready for our apprehension.
If I find him comforting the king, it will stuff his suspicion more fully. I will persevere in my course of loyalty, though the conflict be sore between that and my blood.
I will lay trust upon thee, and thou shalt find a dear father in my love.
Here is better than the open air. Take it thankfully. I will piece out the comfort with what addition I can.
Oh, the power of his wits have given way to his impatience. The gods reward your kindness.
I will not belong from you.
Frateretto calls me and tells me Nero is an angler in the Lake of Darkness. Pray, innocent, and beware the foul fiend.
Prithee, uncle, tell me whether a madman be a gentleman or a yeoman.
A king.
A king? No, he's a yeoman that has a gentleman to his son. For he's a mad yeoman that sees his son a gentleman before him.
The foul fiend breaks my back.
He's mad that trusts in a tameless fool, a horse's health, a boy's love, or a whore's oath.
It shall be done. I will arraign them straight. Now, you she-foxes.
How do you, sir? Stand you not so amazed? Will you lie down? Rest upon the cushions.
No, I'll see their trial first. Bring in their evidence. Thou, rubid man of justice, take thy place. And thou, his yoke-fellow of equity, bench by his side.
You were of the commission. Sit you too.
Let us deal justly.
Arraign her first. 'Tis Goneril. I here take my oath before this honorable assembly. She kicked the poor king, her father.
Come hither, mistress. Is your name Goneril?
She cannot deny it.
Cry you mercy. I took you for a joint stool.
And here's another, whose warped looks proclaim what store her heart is made of.
Stop her there! False justicer! Why hast thou let her escape?
Oh, pity. Sir, where is the patience now that you so oft boasted to retain?
My tears begin to take his part so much they mar my counterfeiting.
The little dogs and all, Tray, Blanche and Sweetheart, see, they bark at me. Now, let them anatomize Regan, see what breeds about her heart. Is there any cause in nature that makes these hard hearts? You, sir, I entertained for one of my hundred. Only I do not like the fashion of your garments. Now, you will say they are Persian, but let them be changed.
Come, march to wakes and fairs and market towns. Poor Tom, my horn is dry.
No. Good, my lord. Lie here. Rest a while.
Make no noise. Make no noise. Draw the curtains. We'll go to supper in the morning.
And I'll go to bed. At noon.
Come hither, friend. Where is the king, my master?
Here, sir. Trouble him not. His wits are gone.
Good friend, I prithee, take him in thy arms. I have overheard a plot of death upon him. There is a litter ready. Lay him in it and drive toward Dover, friend, where thou shalt meet both welcome and protection. Take up thy master. If thou shouldst tally half an hour's life with thine and all that offer to defend him, stand in assured loss. Take up, and follow me. That will to some provision give thee quick conduct. Come, away!
Now, Goneril, post speedily to my lord your husband. Show him this letter. The army of France is landed. Seek out the traitor Gloucester.
Hang him instantly.
Pluck out his eyes.
Leave him to my displeasure. Edmund, keep you our sister company. The revenges we are bound to take upon your traitorous father are not fit for your beholding. Edmund, farewell.
My gracious lord.
Farewell, sweet lord. Sister.
How now, Oswald? Where's the king?
My lord of Gloucester hath conveyed him hence. Some 5 or 6 and 30 of his knights are gone with him toward Dover, where they boast to have well-armed friends.
Get horses for your mistress. Pinion him like a thief! Bring him before us! Though well we may not pass upon his life without the form of justice, yet our power shall do a courtesy to our wrath, which men may blame but not control. Who's there? The traitor!
Ingrateful fox, tis he.
Bind fast his corky arms!
What means you, Graces? Good my friends, consider you are my guests. Do me no foul play, friend.
Bind him, I say!
Hard! Oh, filthy traitor.
Unmerciful lady as you are, I'm none.
To this chair, bind him! Villain, thou shalt find...
Oh, by the kind gods, 'tis most ignobly done to pluck me by the beard.
So white and such a traitor.
I am your host. With robber's hands, my hospitable favours, you should not ruffle thus. What will you do?
Come, sir! What letters had you late from France?
Be simple answered, for we know the truth.
And what confederacy have you with the traitors late footed in the kingdom?
To whose hands you have sent the lunatic king? Speak!
Where hast thou sent the king?
To Dover.
Wherefore to Dover? Wast thou not charged at peril?
Wherefore to Dover? Let him answer that.
I'm tied to the stake and I must stand the course.
Wherefore to Dover?
Because I would not see thy cruel nails pluck out his poor old eyes.
nor thy fierce sister in his anointed flesh stick boorish fangs. The sea, were such a storm as his bare head and hell black night endured, would have buoyed up and quenched the stellid fires. Yet, poor old heart, he helped the heavens to rain. If wolves had at thy gate howled that stern time, thou shouldst have said, good porter, turn the key. All cruels else subscribe, but I shall see the winged vengeance overtake such children.
See it shalt thou never. Fellows, hold the chair. Upon these eyes of thine I'll set my foot.
He that will think to live till he be old, give me some help. Oh, cruel! Oh, ye gods!
One side will mock another. The other too.
If you see vengeance!
Hold your hand, my lord. I have served you ever since I was a child. But better service have I never done you than now to bid you hold.
How now, you dog?
My villain!
Nay then, Cornwall, come on and take the chance of anger.
Give me thy sword. A peasant stand up thus.
I am slain. My lord, you have one eye left to see some mischief on him.
Lest it see more, prevent it. Out, vile jelly! Where is thy luster now?
Old dark and comfortless. Where's my son Edmund? Edmund, enkindle all the sparks of nature to quit this horrid act.
Out, treacherous villain. Thou callst on him that hates thee. It was he that made the overture of thy treasons.
Oh, my follies! Then Edgar was abused. Kind gods, forgive me that, and prosper him.
Thrust him out at gates, and let him smell his way to Dover. How is it, my lord? How look you?
I've received a heart. Follow me, lady. Turn out that eyeless villain! Oh, Regan, I bleed apace. Untimely comes this heart. Yeah, give me your arm.
Yet better thus, unknown to be condemned, than still condemned and flattered. To be worst, the lowest and most dejected thing of fortune stands still in esperance, lives not in fear. The lamentable change is from the best, the worst returns to laughter. Welcome then, thou unsubstantial air that I embrace. The wretch that thou hast blown unto the worst owes nothing to thy blasts. But who comes here? My father, poorly led. World, world, oh, world! But that thy strange mutations make us hate thee, life would not yield to age.
Oh, my good lord.
Away, get thee away, good friend, and be gone. Thy comfort can do me no good at all. Thee they may hurt.
You cannot see your way.
I have no way, and therefore want no eyes. I stumbled when I saw. Oh, dear son Edgar, the food of thy abused father's wrath, might I but live to see thee in my touch, I say I had eyes again.
How now? Who's there?
Oh, gods. Who is't can say I am at the worst? I am worse than e'er I was.
'Tis poor mad Tom.
And worse I may be yet. The worst is not so long as we can say this is the worst.
Fellow, where goest? Is it a beggar man?
Madman and beggar too.
He has some reason else he could not beg. In the last night's storm, I such a fellow saw, which made me think a man a worm. My son came then into my mind, and yet my mind was then scarce friends with him. I have heard more since. As flies to wanton boys are we to the gods. They kill us for their sport.
How should this be? Bad is the trade that must play fool to sorrow, angering itself and others.
Bless thee, master!
Is that the naked fellow?
Aye, my lord.
Get thee away. If for my sake thou wilt overtake us hence a mile or twain on the way toward Dover, do it for ancient love, and bring some covering for this naked soul which I'll entreat to lead me.
Alack, sir, he is mad.
'Tis the time's plague when madmen lead the blind. Do as I bid thee, or rather do thy pleasure above the rest. Begone.
I'll bring him the best parel that I have. Come on, what will?
Sirrah, naked fellow.
Poor Tom's a cold.
I cannot daub it further.
Come hither, fellow.
And yet I must.
Bless thy sweet eyes. They bleed.
Knowest thou the way to Dover?
Both stile and gate, horseway and footpath.
Here, take this purse. Thou whom the heaven's plagues have humbled to all strokes, dost thou know Dover?
Aye, master.
There is a cliff whose high and bending head looks fearfully in the confined deep. Bring me but to the very brim of it, and I'll repair the misery thou dost bear with something rich about me. From that place I shall no leading need.
Give me thy arm. Poor Tom shall lead thee.
Welcome, Edmund.
My lady.
I'm Ivar Lahr, mild husband, not met us on the way. Now, Oswald, where's your master?
Madam, within. But never man so changed. I told him of the army that was landed. He smiled at it. I told him you were coming. His answer was, the worse. Of Gloucester's treachery and of the loyal service of his son, when I informed him, then he called me sot, and told me I had turned the wrong side out. What most he should dislike seems pleasant to him. What like? Offensive.
Then shall you go no further. It is the cowish terror of his spirit that dares not undertake. Back, Edmund, to my brother Cornwall. Hasten his musters and conduct his powers. I must change arms at home and give the distaff into my husband's hands. This trusty servant shall pass between us. Ere long you are like to hear, if you dare venture in your own behalf, a mistress's command. Wear this. Spare speech. Decline your head. This kiss, if it does speak, would stretch thy spirits up into the air. Conceive, and fare thee well, my most dear Gloucester.
Yours in the ranks of death.
Oh, the difference of man and man. To thee a woman's services are due. A fool usurps my bed.
Madam, here comes my lord.
I have been worth the whistle.
Oh, Goneril. You are not worth the dust which the rude wind blows in your face. What have you done? Tigers, not daughters. What have you performed? A father and a gracious aged man whose reverence even the head-lugged bear would lick, most barbarous, most degenerate, have you madded. Could my good brother suffer you to do it? A man, a prince, by him so benefited. If that the heavens do not their visible spirits sing quickly down to tame these vile offences, it will come. Humanity must perforce prey on itself like monsters of the deep.
Milk-livered man, that bear'st a cheek for blows, a head for wrongs, who hast not in thy brows an eye discerning thine honour from thy suffering, where's thy drum? France spreads his banners in our noiseless land. With plumed helm thy state begins to threat, whilst thou, a moral fool, sitst still and criest. Alack, why does he so?
See thyself, devil. Proper deformity seems not in the fiend so horrid as in woman.
Oh, vain fool.
Were't my fitness to let these hands obey my blood, they are apt enough to dislocate and tear thy flesh and bones. However thou art a fiend, a woman's shape doth shield thee.
Marry your manhood now.
Oh, my good lord! The Duke of Cornwall's dead. Slain by a servant, going to put out the other eye of Gloucester.
Gloucester's eyes?
Both. Both, my lord. This letter, madam, craves a speedy answer. 'Tis from your sister.
One way I like this well. But being widow and my Gloucester with her, may all the building in my fancy pluck upon my hateful life.
I'll read and answer.
Where was his son when they did take his eyes?
Come with my lady hither.
He is not here?
No, my good lord.
Knows he the wickedness?
Aye, my good lord, 'twas he informed against him, and quit the house on purpose that their punishment might have the freer course.
Gloucester, I live to thank thee for the love thou showest the king, and to revenge thine eyes. Come hither, friend. Tell me what more thou knowest.
Why the King of France has suddenly gone back? Know you no reason?
Something he left imperfect in the state, which imports to the kingdom so much fear and danger that his personal return was most required and necessary.
Did the letters pierce the Queen to any demonstration of grief?
Aye, sir. She took them, read them in my presence. It seemed she was a queen over her passion, who, most rebel-like, sought to be king o'er her.
Oh, then it moved her.
Not to a rage. Patience and sorrow strove who should express her goodliest. You've seen sunshine and rain at once. Her smiles and tears were like a better way. In brief, sorrow would be a rarity most beloved if all could so become it.
Made she no verbal question?
Faith, once or twice she heaved the name of father pantingly forth, as if it pressed her heart. Cried, sisters, sisters, shame of ladies, sisters, Kent, father, sisters, what i' the storm, i' the night, let pity not be believed. Then away she started to deal with grief alone.
It is the stars above us govern our conditions, else one self-mate and make could not beget such different issues. You spoke not with her since?
No.
Well, sir, the poor distressed Lear's i' the town, who sometime in his better tune remembers what will come about, and by no means will yield to see his daughter.
Why, good sir?
A sovereign shame so elbows him. His own unkindness that stripped her from his benediction, turned her to foreign casualties, gave her dear rights to his dog-hearted daughters. These things sting his mind so venomously that burning shame detains him from Cordelia.
Alack, poor gentleman.
Of Albany's and Cornwall's powers, you heard not?
'Tis so. They are afoot.
Well, sir, I'll bring you to our master Lear. I pray you go along with me.
Alack, 'tis he. Why, he was met even now, as mad as the vexed sea, singing aloud, crowned with rank fumitor and furrow weeds, with burdocks, hemlock, nettles, cuckoo flowers, darnel, and all the idle weeds that grow in our sustaining corn. Search every acre in the high-grown field and bring him to our eye.
I will, madam.
All blessed secrets, all you unpublished virtues of the earth, spring with my tears. Be aidant and remediate in the good man's desires.
News, madam. The British powers are marching hitherward.
'Tis known before. Our preparation stands in expectation of them.
Oh, dear father, it is thy business that I go about. Therefore, great France, my mourning and importune tears hath pitied. No blown ambition doth our arms incite, but love, dear love, and our aged father's right. Soon may I hear and see him.
But Oswald, are Albany's powers set forth?
Aye, madam.
Himself in person there?
Madam, with much ado. Your sister is the better soldier.
Lord Edmund spake not with your lord at home?
No, madam.
What might import my sister's letter to him?
I know not, lady.
Faith, he is posted hence on serious matter. It was great ignorance, Gloucester's eyes being out, to let him live.
Where he arrives, he moves all hearts against us. Edmund, I think, is gone in pity of his misery to dispatch his knighted life. Moreover, to descry the strength of the enemy.
I must needs after him, madam, with my letter.
Our troops set forth tomorrow. Stay with us. The ways are dangerous.
I may not, madam. My lady charged my duty in this business.
Let me unseal the letter.
Madam, I had rather...
I know your lady does not love her husband. I'm sure of that. I know you are of her bosom.
Aye, madam.
I speak in understanding. You are. I note. Therefore, I do advise you to take this note. My lord is dead. Edmund and I have talked, and more convenient is he for my hand than for your lady's. So fare you well. If you do chance to hear of that blind traitor, preferment falls on him that cuts him off.
Would I could meet, madam. I should show what party I do follow.
Fare thee well.
When shall I come to the top of that same hill?
You do climb up it now. Look how we labour.
You think the ground is even?
A horrible steep. Hark. Do you hear the sea?
No, truly.
Why then, your other senses grow imperfect by your eyes' anguish.
So may it be indeed. Methinks thy voice is altered, and thou speakest in better phrase and matter than thou didst.
You're much deceived. In nothing am I changed but in my garments.
Methinks you're better spoken.
Come on, sir. Here's the place. Stand still. Oh, how fearful and dizzy 'tis to cast one's eyes so low. The crows and choughs that wing the midway air show scarce so gross as beetles. Halfway down hangs one that gathers samphire. Dreadful trade. Methinks he seems no bigger than his head. The fishermen that walk upon the beach appear like mice. And yon tall, anchoring bark diminished to a buoy almost too small for sight. The murmuring surge that on the unnumbered idle pebble chafes cannot be heard so high. I'll look no more, lest my brain turn and the deficient sight topple down headlong.
Set me where you stand.
Give me your hand. You are now within a foot of the extreme verge.
Let go of my hand. Here, friend, is another purse. In it a jewel well worth a poor man's taking. Fairies and gods prosper it with thee. Go thou further off. Bid me farewell, and let me hear thee going.
Now fare you well, good sir.
With all my heart.
Why I do trifle thus with his despair is done to cure it.
Oh, you mighty gods! This world I do renounce, and in your sight shake patiently my great affliction off. If I could bear it longer and not fall to quarrel with your great opposeless wills, my snuff and loathed part of nature should burn itself out. If Edgar live, oh, bless him. Now, fellow, fare thee well.
Gone, sir. Farewell. Had he been where he thought, by this had thought been passed.
Alive or dead? Oh, you, sir. Friend. Hear you, sir. Speak.
Thus might he pass indeed, yet he revives. What are you, sir?
Away and let me die.
Hadst thou been aught but gossamer, feathers, air, so many fathom down precipitating, thou'd shivered like an egg. But thou dost breathe. Hast heavy substance bleeds not. Speakest art sound. 10 masts at each make not the altitude which thou hast perpendicularly fell. Thy life's a miracle. Speak yet again.
But have I fallen or no?
From the dread summit of this chalky bourne, look up a height. The shrill gorge lark so far cannot be seen or heard. Do but look up.
Alack, I have no eyes. Is wretchedness deprived that benefit to end itself by death? 'Twas yet some comfort when misery could beguile the tyrant's rage and frustrate his proud will.
Give me your arm. Up so. How is it? Feel you your legs. You stand.
Too well. Too well.
This is above all strangeness. Upon the crown of the cliff, what thing was that which parted from you?
A poor, unfortunate beggar.
As I stood here below, methought his eyes were two full moons. He had a thousand noses, horns whelked and waved like the enraged sea. It was some fiend. Therefore, thou happy father, think that the clearest gods, who make them honours of men's impossibilities, have preserved thee.
I do remember now. Henceforth, I'll bear affliction till it do cry out itself, enough, enough, and die. That thing you speak of, I took it for a man. Often 'twould say, the fiend, he led me to that place.
Bear free and patient thoughts.
But who comes here? The safer sense will ne'er accommodate his master thus.
No, they cannot touch me for coining. I am the king himself.
Oh, thou sight-piercing sight.
Nature's above art in that respect. There's your press money. That fellow handles his bow like a crow keeper. Draw me a clothier's yard.
Look, look, a mouse. Piece, piece. This piece of toasted cheese will do it.
There's my gauntlet. I'll prove it on a giant. Bring up the brown bills. Oh, well flown bird. Is a clout! Give the word.
Sweet marjoram.
Pass.
I know that voice.
Ah, Goneril with a white beard. They flattered me like a dog and told me I had the white hairs in my beard ere the black ones were there. To say aye and no to everything that I said aye and no to was no good divinity. When the rain came to wet me once, and the wind to make me chatter, when the thunder would not peace at my bidding, there I found them, there I smelt them out. Go to, they are not men of their words. They told me I was everything. Is a lie. I am not ague-proof.
Is't not the king?
Aye, every inch a king. When I do stare, see how the subject quakes. I pardon that man's life. What was thy cause? Adultery? Thou shalt not die. Die for adultery. Oh, let copulation thrive. For Gloucester's bastard son was kinder to his father than my daughter's got between the lawful sheets. To it, lechery. Pell-mell, for I lack soldiers. Behold yon simpering dame, whose face between her forks presages snow that minces virtue, and does shake the head to hear of pleasure's name. The fissured or the soiled horse goes to it with a more riotous appetite. Down from the waist they are centaurs, the women all above. But to the girdle do the gods inherit, beneath is all the fiends. There's hell. There's darkness. There is the sulphurous pit. Burning, scalding, stench, consumption. Fie! Give me an ounce of civet, good apothecary. Sweeten my imagination. There's money for thee.
Oh, let me kiss that hand.
Let me wipe it first. It smells of mortality.
Oh, ruined piece of nature. This great world shall so wear out to naught. Dost thou know me?
I remember thine eyes well enough. Dost thou squinny at me? No, do thy worst, blind Cupid. Ah, not love. Read thou this challenge. Mark but the penning of it.
Were all thy letters suns, I could not see.
I would not take this from report. It is, and my heart breaks at it.
Read.
What with this case of eyes?
Oh! Are you there with me? No eyes in your head, though no money in your purse. Your eyes are in a heavy case, your purse in a light. Yet you see how this world goes.
I see it feelingly.
What? Not mad? A man may see how this world goes with no eyes. Look with thine ears. See how yon justice rails upon yon simple thief. Hark in thine ear. Change places, and handy dandy, which is the justice, which is the thief? Thou hast seen a farmer's dog bark at a beggar.
Aye, sir.
And the creature run from the cur. There thou mightst behold the great image of authority. A dog's obeyed in office. Through tattered clothes great vices do appear. Robes and furred gowns hide all. Plate sins with gold. And the strong lance of justice, hurtless, breaks. None does offend. None, I say. None. Get thee glass eyes, and like a scurvy politician, seem to see the things thou dost not. No. Pull off my boots. Yeah, well, harder. Yeah. Harder! So.
Matter and impertinency mixed. Reason in madness.
If thou wilt weep my fortunes, take my eyes. I know thee well enough. Thy name is Gloucester. Thou must be patient. We came crying hither. Thou knowest the first time that we smell the air, we wall and cry. I will preach to thee, Mark.
Alack the day.
When we are born, we cry that we are come to this great stage of fools. This is a good block. It were a delicate stratagem to shoe a troop of horse with felt. I'll put in proof, and when I have stolen upon these son-in-laws, then kill, 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 kill!
Oh, here he is. Lay hand upon him. Sir, your most dear daughter.
No rescue? What? A prisoner? I am even the natural fool of fortune. Use me well. You shall have ransom. Let me have surgeons. I am cut to the brains.
You shall have anything.
No seconds? All myself? Why, this would make a man of salt, to use his eyes for garden water pots. I will die bravely, like a smug bridegroom. What? I will be jovial. Come, come. I am a king, masters. Know you that?
You are a royal one, and we obey you.
Then there's life in it. Come, then you get it. You shall get it by running.
Sir! Sight most pitiful in the meanest wretch, past speaking of in a king. Thou hast one daughter who redeems nature from the general curse which twain have brought her to.
Hail, gentle sir.
Sir, speed you. What's your will?
Do you hear aught, sir, of a battle toward?
Everyone hears that which can distinguish sound.
But by your favour, how near is the other army?
Near and on speedy foot. The main descry stands on the hourly thought.
I thank you, sir, that's all.
Though that the Queen on special cause is here, her army has moved on.
I thank you, sir.
You ever gentle gods, take my breath from me. Let not my worser spirit tempt me again to die before you please.
Well, pray you, father.
No good, sir. What are you?
A most poor man, made tame to fortune's blows, who by the art of known and feeling sorrows am pregnant to good pity. Give me your hand. I'll lead you to some biding.
Hearty thanks.
Most happy. That eyeless head of thine was first framed flesh to raise my fortune. Thou old, unhappy traitor, briefly thyself remember. The sword is out that must destroy thee.
Now let thy friendly hand put strength enough to it.
Hold! Wherefore, bold peasant, darest thou support a published traitor? Hence,
lest that the infection of his fortune take like hold on thee. Let go his arm.
Nay, come not near the old man.
Let go, slave, or thou diest. Slave, thou hast slain me. Villain, take my purse. If ever thou wilt thrive, bury my body, and give the letters which thou find'st about me to Edmund, Earl of Gloucester.
I know thee well. Serviceable villain, as duteous to the vices of thy mistress as badness would desire.
What is he dead?
Sit you down, Father. Rest you. And see these pockets. The letter that he speaks of may be my friend. He's dead. I'm only sorry that he had no other deathsman. Let us see. Leave, gentle wax, and manners blame us not. To know our enemies' minds, we rip their hearts, their papers is more lawful. Let our reciprocal vows be remembered. You have many opportunities to cut him off. If he return the conqueror, then am I the prisoner and his bed my jail. From the loathed warmth whereof, deliver me and supply the place for your labor. Your wife, so I would say, affectionate servant, Goneril.
The king is mad. How stiff is my vile sense that I stand up and have ingenious feeling of my huge sorrows. Better I were distract. So should my thoughts be severed from my griefs and woes by wrong imaginations lose the knowledge of themselves.
Give me your hand. Far off, methinks, I hear the beaten drum. Come, father. I'll bestow you with a friend.
Oh, thou good Kent. How shall I live and work to match thy goodness? My life will be too short and every measure fail me.
To be acknowledged, madam, is o'erpaid. All my reports go with modest truth, no more nor clipped, but so.
Doctor, how does the king?
Madam sleeps still.
Oh, you kind gods, cure this great breach in his abused nature. The untuned and jarring senses, oh, wind up of this child-changed father.
So please your majesty that we may wake the king. He hath slept long.
Be governed by your knowledge and proceed in this way of your own will.
Be by, good madam, when we do awake him. I doubt of his temperance. Please you, draw near.
Oh, my dear father. Restoration, hang thy medicine on my lips, and let this kiss repair those violent harms that my two sisters have in thy reverence made.
Kind and dear princess.
Was this a face to be exposed against the warring winds, to stand against the deep, dread, bolted thunder in the most terrible and nimble stroke of quick cross lightning? Mine enemy's dog, though he had bit me, should have stood that night against my fire. And wast thou fain, poor father, to hovel thee with swine and rogues forlorn in short and musty straw? Alack, alack! Tis wonder that thy life and wits at once had not concluded all. He wakes. Speak to him.
Madam, do you? Tis fittest.
How does my royal lord? How fares your majesty?
You do me wrong to take me out of the grave. Thou art a soul in bliss, but I am bound upon a wheel of fire that my new tears do scald like molten lead.
Sir, do you know me?
You are a spirit, I know. Where did you die?
Still. Still, far wide.
He's scarce awake. Let him alone a while.
Where have I been? Where am I? Fair daylight? I am mightily abused. I know not what to say. I will not swear these are my hands. Let's see. I feel this pinprick. Would I were assured of my condition.
Oh, look upon me, sir, and hold your hand in benediction o'er me.
You must not kneel.
Pray, do not mock me. I'm a very foolish, fond old man. 40 and upward, not an hour more or less. And to deal plainly, I fear I'm not in my perfect mind. Methinks I should know you and know this man. Yet I am doubtful, for I'm mainly ignorant what place this is. And all the skin I have remembers not these garments, nor I know not where I did lodge last night. Do not laugh at me. For as I am a man, I think this lady to be my child, Cordelia.
And so I am. I am.
Be your tears wet. Yes, please. I pray, weep not. If you have poison for me, I will drink it. I know you do not love me, for your sisters have, as I do remember, done me wrong. You have some cause. They have not.
No cause. No cause.
Am I in France?
In your own kingdom, sir.
Do not abuse me.
Be comforted, good madam. The great rage you see is killed in him. And yet it is danger to make him even o'er the time he is lost. Desire him to go in. Trouble him no more till further settling.
Will please your highness walk?
Yes. You must bear with me. Pray you now. Forget and forgive. I am old and foolish.
It is time to look about. The powers of the kingdom approach apace.
The arbitrament is like to be bloody. Fare you well, sir.
Now, sweet lord, you know the goodness I intend upon you. Tell me but truly, but then speak the truth. Do you not love my sister?
In honored love.
But have you never found my brother's way to the forfended place?
No, by my honor, madam.
I never shall endure her. Dear my lord, be not familiar with her.
Fear me not. She and the Duke, her husband.
Our very loving sister, well be met. Sir, the king is come to his daughter, with others whom the rigor of our state forced to cry out. Where I could not be honest, I never yet was valiant. For this business, it toucheth us. As France invades our land, not bolds the king with others whom I fear most just and heavy causes make oppose.
Sir, you speak nobly.
Why is this reason?
Combined together against the enemy for these domestic and particular broils are not the question here.
Let's then determine with the Ancient of War on our proceeding.
I shall attend you presently at your tent.
Sister, you'll go with us?
No.
'Tis most convenient. Pray go with us.
Oh, I know the riddle. I will go.
If fair your grace had speech with man so poor, my lord of Albany, hear me one word.
I'll o'ertake you.
Speak. Before you fight the battle, ope this letter. If you have victory, let the trumpet sound for him that brought it. Wretched though I seem, I can produce a champion that will prove what is avouched here. If you miscarry, your business of the world hath so an end, and machination ceases. Fortune love you.
Stay till I have read the letter.
I was forbid it. When time shall serve, let but the trumpet sound and I'll appear again.
I fare thee well. I will o'erlook thy paper.
The enemy's in view. Draw up your powers. Here is the guess of their true strength and forces by diligent discovery. But your haste is now urged on you.
We will greet the time.
To both these sisters have I sworn my love, each jealous of the other as the stung are of the adder. Which of them shall I take? Both? One? Or neither? Neither can be enjoyed if both remain alive. To take the widow exasperates, makes mad her sister Goneril, and hardly shall I carry out my side, her husband being alive. Now, then, we'll use his countenance for the battle, which being done, let her who would be rid of him devise his speedy taking off. As for the mercy which he intends to Lear and to Cordelia, the battle done, and they within our power, shall never see his pardon, for my state stands on me to defend, not to debate.
Here, Father. Take the shadow of this tree for your good host. Pray that the right may thrive. If ever I return to you again, I'll bring you comfort.
Grace, go with you, sir.
Away! King Lear hath lost, he and his daughter Tain. Give me thy hand, come on.
No further, sir, a man may rot even here.
Rot in ill thoughts again. Men must endure their going hence, even as they're coming hither. Rightness is all, come on.
And that's true too.
Officers, take them away.
We are not the first who, with best meaning, have incurred the worst. For thee, oppressed king, I am cast down. Myself could else outfrown false fortune's frown. Shall we not see these daughters and these sisters?
No. Come, let's away to prison. We two alone will sing like birds of a cage. When thou dost ask me blessing, I'll kneel down and ask of thee forgiveness. So we'll live and pray and sing and tell old tales and laugh at gilded butterflies and hear poor rogues talk of court news. And we'll talk with them too, who loses and who wins, who's in, who's out. And take upon us the mystery of things, as if we were God's spies. And we'll wear out in a walled prison packs and sects of great ones that ebb and flow by the moon.
Take them away.
Upon such sacrifices, my Cordelia, the gods themselves throw incense. Have I caught thee? He that parts us shall bring a brand from heaven and fire us hence like foxes. Wipe thine eyes. The good years shall devour them, flesh and fell, how they shall make us weep. We'll see them starve first. Come!
Come, hither, captain! Hark! Take thou this note. Go follow them to prison. One step I have advanced thee. If thou dost as this instructs thee, thou dost make thy way to noble fortunes. Know thou this, that men are as the time is. To be tender-minded does not become a sword. Thy great employment will not bear question. Either say thou'lt do it, or thrive by other means.
I'll do it, my lord.
About it, and right happy when thou'st done. Mark, I say, instantly, and carry it so as I have set it down.
If it be man's work, I'll do it.
Sir, you have showed today your valiant strain, and fortune led you well. You have the captives who were the opposites of this day's strife. I do require them of you, so to use them as we shall find their merits, and our safety may equally determine.
Sir, I thought it fit to send the old and miserable king to some retention and appointed guard. With him I sent the queen, and they are ready, tomorrow or at further space, to appear where you shall hold your session. At this time we sweat and bleed. The friend hath lost his friend, and the best quarrels in the heat are cursed by those that feel their sharpness. The question of Cordelia and her father requires a fitter place.
Sir, by your patience, I hold you but a subject of this war, not as a brother.
He led our powers, bore the commission of my place and person, the which immediacy may well stand up and call itself your brother.
Not so hot. In his own grace he doth exalt himself more than in your addition.
In my rights, by me invested, he compeers the best.
That were the most, if he should husband you.
Jesters do oft prove prophets.
Hola, hola, that either told you so, look but a squint.
Lady, I'm not well, else I should answer from a full flowing stomach.
Noble Edmund, take thou my soldiers, prisoners, patrimony. Dispose of them, of me. The walls are thine. Witness the world that I create thee here, my lord and master.
Mean you to enjoy him?
The let alone lies not in your goodwill.
Nor in thine, lord.
Half-blooded fellow, yes.
Let the drum strike and prove my title thine.
Stay yet. Hear reason. Edmund, I arrest thee on capital treason, and in thy arrest this gilded serpent Goneril. For your claim, fair sister, I bar it in the interest of my wife. 'Tis she is subcontracted to this lord, and I, her husband, contradict your bans. If you will marry, make your love to me. My lady is bespoke.
An interlude.
Thou art armed, Gloucester. Let the trumpet sound. If none appear to prove upon thy person thy heinous manifest in many treasons, there is my pledge. I'll make it on thy heart ere I taste bread. Thou art in nothing less than I have here proclaimed thee.
Sick! Oh, sick!
If not, I'll ne'er trust medicine.
What in the world he is that names me traitor, villain-like he lies. Call by the trumpet. He that dares approach on him, on you, who not? I will maintain my truth and honor firmly.
Oh, my sickness grows upon me.
She is not well. Convey her to my tent. Trust to thy single virtue, Gloucester. For thy soldiers, all levied in my name, have in my name took their discharge. Let the trumpet sound. If any man of quality or degree within the list of the army will maintain upon Edmund, supposed Earl of Gloucester, that he is a manifold traitor, let him appear by the third sound of the trumpet. He is bold in his defense. Again! Again! What are you? Your name, your quality, and why you answer this present summons?
No, my name is lost. By treason's tooth, bare gnawn, and canker bit. Yet am I noble as the adversary I come to cope withal.
Which is that adversary?
What's he that speaks for Edmund, Earl of Gloucester?
Himself. What sayest thou to him?
Draw thy sword, that if my speech offend a noble heart, thy arm may do thee justice. Here is mine. Behold, it is my privilege of mine honors, my oath and my profession. I protest, despite thy strength, place, youth and eminence, despite thy victor sword and fire new fortune, thy valor and thy heart, thou art a traitor. False to thy gods, thy brother and thy father, conspirant against this high, illustrious prince, and from the extremest upward of thy head to the descent and dust below thy foot, a most toad-spotted traitor. Say thou no, this sword, this arm, and my best spirits are bent to prove upon thy heart whereto I speak, thou liest.
Back do I toss these treasons to thy head, with the hell-hated lie o'erwhelm thy heart, which for the yet glance by and scarcely bruise, this sword of mine shall give them instant way, where they shall rest forever.
Hold, stranger!
This is practice, Gloucester. By the law of war, thou wast not bound to answer an unknown opposite. Thou art not vanquished, but cozened and beguiled.
Shut your mouth, dame, or with this paper shall I stop it. Hold, Edmund. Thou worse than any name. Read thine own evil. Nay, no tearing, Goneril. I perceive you know it.
Say if I do. The laws are mine, not thine. Who can arraign me for it?
Most monstrous! Knowest thou this paper?
Ask me not what I know.
Go after her. She's desperate. Govern her.
What you have charged me with, that have I done. And more, much more. The time will bring it out. It is past. And so am I. But what art thou that hast this fortune on me? If thou art noble, I do forgive thee.
Let's exchange charity. I'm no less in blood than thou art, Edmund. If more, the more thou'st wronged me. My name is Edgar, and thy father's son. The gods are just, and of our pleasant vices make instruments to plague us. The dark and vicious place where thee he got cost him his eyes.
Thou spoken right, 'tis true. The wheel has come full circle. I am here.
Edgar, I must embrace thee. Let sorrow split my heart if ever I did hate thee or thy father.
Worthy prince, I know it.
Where have you hid yourself? How have you known the miseries of your father?
By nursing them, my lord. List a brief tale, and when 'tis told, oh, that my heart would burst. The bloody proclamation to escape that followed me so near, oh, our life's sweetness that we, the pain of death, would hourly die rather than die at once, taught me to shift into a madman's rags, to assume a semblance that very dogs disdained. And in this habit met I my father with his bleeding rings, the precious stones new lost, became his guide, led him, begged for him, saved him from despair. Never, O fault, revealed myself unto him until some half hour passed when I was armed. Not sure, though hoping of this good success, I asked his blessing, and from first to last told him our pilgrimage. But his flawed heart, alack, too weak the conflict to support, twixt two extremes of passion, joy, and grief, burst smilingly.
This speech of yours hath moved me, and shall perchance do good. But speak ye on. You look as you had something more to say.
If there be more, more woeful, hold it in. For I am almost ready to dissolve hearing of this.
Help! Help! Oh, help!
What kind of help?
Speak mine!
What means this bloody knife?
'Tis hot. It smokes. It came even from the heart of... Oh, she's dead.
Who did? Speak, man!
Your lady, sir. Your lady. And her sister by her is poisoned. She confesses it.
I was contracted to them both. All three. Now marry in an instant.
This judgment of the heavens that makes us tremble touches us not with pity. But who comes here?
Kent, sir. The banished Kent who, in disguise, followed his enemy king and did him service improper for a slave.
My lord of Kent, the time will not allow the compliment which very manners urges.
I am come to bid my king and master aye good night. Is he not here?
Great thing of us forgot. Speak, Edmund, where's the king? And where's Cordelia?
Yet Edmund was beloved. The one the other poisoned for my sake. And after slew herself.
Even so.
I pant for life. Some good I mean to do, despite of mine own nature. Quickly send, be brief in it, to the castle. For my writ is on the life of Leon, and on Cordelia. Nay, send in time.
Run, run, oh, run!
To who, my lord? Who has the office? Send thy token of reprieve, Edmund.
Ah, well thought, man. Take my sword. Give it the captain.
Haste thee for thy life.
I will, sir.
He hath commission from thy wife and me to hang Cordelia in the prison and to lay the blame upon her own despair that she forded herself.
God's defender. Bear him hence a while.
I'd use them so that heaven's vault should crack. She's gone forever. I know when one is dead and when one lives. She's dead as earth.
Lend me a looking glass. If that her breath will mist or stain the stone, why then she lives.
Is this the promised end?
Or image of that horror?
Fall and cease.
This feather stirs. She lives. If it be so, it is a chance which does redeem all sorrows that ever I have felt.
Oh, my good master.
Prithee away.
Tis noble Kent, your friend.
A plague upon you, murderers, traitors all. I might have saved her, now she's gone forever. Cordelia. Cordelia. Stay a little. Huh? What is this? See, her voice was ever soft. Gentle and low. An excellent thing in woman.
I killed the slave that was a-hanging thee.
It is true, my lords. He did.
Did I not, fellow? I have seen the day with my good biting broadsword. I would have made him skip. I'm old now. These same crosses spoil me. Who are you? My knives are not of the best, I tell you straight.
If fortune brag of two she loved and hated, one of them we behold.
Are you not Kent?
The same. Your servant, Kent. That from your first of difference and decay have followed your sad steps.
You are welcome hither.
No man else. Woe's cheerless. Dark and deadly. Your elders' daughters have foredone themselves and desperately are dead.
So I think.
He knows not what he says, and vain is it that we present us to him.
Very bootless.
Edmund is dead, my lord.
That's but a trifle here. You lords and noble friends know our intent. What comfort to this great decay may come shall be applied. For us, we will resign during the life of this old majesty to him our absolute power. You earls of Kent and Gloucester, to your rights with boot and such addition as your honours have more than merited, all friends shall taste the wages of their virtue and all foes the cup of their deservings. Oh, see.
And my poor fool is hanged. No life. Why should a dog, a horse, a rat have life? And thou no breath at all? Oh, thou wilt come no more. Never. I pray you, undo this button. Thank you, sir.
My lord.
Break heart, I prithee. Break.
Look up. My lord.
Vex not his ghost. Or let him pass. He hates him that would upon the rack of this tough world stretch him out longer.
He is gone indeed.
The wonder is he hath endured so long. He but usurped his life.
Friends of my soul, Edgar and Kent, you twain rule in this realm, and the Gord state sustain.
I have a journey, sir, shortly to go. My master calls me. I must not say no.
The wait of this sad time we must obey. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say. The oldest hath borne most. We that are young shall never see so much, nor live so long.
In King Lear by William Shakespeare. King Lear was played by Ian McDermott. Goneril by Madeleine Worrell. Regan by Frances Gray. Cordelia by Joanna Vanderham. Gloucester by Bill Patterson. Edmund by Paul Higgins. Edgar by Finden Hertog. Kent by Michael Nardoni. The Fool by Brian Vernal. Albany by Stephen Robertson. Cornwall by Stephen Cree. Oswald by Owen Whitelaw. France by Simon Harrison. And all other parts by Ewan Bailey and Sean Murray. Music and sound design were by Gary C. Newman. King Lear was a BBC Scotland production directed by Gaynor MacFarlane.
And you can find more of our dramas on the Radio 3 website. The Shakespeare Connection continues next Sunday when we've actually got 5 dramas in one. You may have heard one or two of them during our Shakespeare weekend. They're based on some of Shakespeare's most powerful sonnets, and the first one begins at the usual time next Sunday, 9 o'clock. Well, now on Radio 3, it's 11:30, and we come to Early Music Late, presented by Aileen Manahan-Thomas.
Hello. Tonight's concert comes from the Cantar de Pietre Festival. Performing in St Ambrose's Church in Cademario in September last year, the Ensemble Peregrina and Ensemble Perlaro bring us a programme of early Renaissance motets and polyphony from across Europe. We start with a sequence from 13th and 14th century France, Bohemia, Italy and Spain. 4 anonymous motets and tropes, and one by Philippe de Vitry.
Cool.